Grove Women, I hope you were able to join us this weekend as Pastor Daniel shared our annual theme, Witness His Power. We're so excited to celebrate 100 years here at the Grove and all that God has done over that time. Next year, we're going to be going through the book of Acts, and so we hope you're excited. We hope you'll join us and follow along. As we're winding down here in Galatians, we have Jenny sharing with us today. We only have two lessons left, so we'll be providing more information soon about that last lesson and the what you can do at home. But for now, let's just sit back and hear what Jenny has to say.
Hello, ladies, and welcome back to our Galatians study. I hope that you will open up your Bible or your workbook journal, whatever you're using, to join us in Galatians chapter 3. We're continuing on Paul's argument, and we're only in verses 15 through 18 today. If you're listening on the go, I hope you've already had an opportunity to read these verses. There are only four short verses, but Paul has been giving us a rich theological history of God's plan for redemption. And before we get started, I just want to talk with you about what it means and the importance of knowing God's word, what we need to know as we continue to clarify the gospel in this study. These verses are likely not going to be the verses that you pull up on somebody's social media feed as an encouraging thought for the day. Definitely not something you're going to open up to with your devotional, pretty journal book one morning, because these verses don't have anything real practical for the, like, okay, tell me what to do so I can do it now kind of reader. But I want to challenge some of those thoughts for us as we continue to study God's word, because this is the stuff, this history that Paul has been showing us and reminding us of is the stuff that grows our love and our understanding of God's rich truth and his word and his plan of redemption from Genesis to Revelation. It's the whole story of God's word. And it's what takes us from being young, immature Christians who are still maybe like babies feeding on milk or baby food. And it's the stuff that takes us into the maturing growth, like meaty stuff of God. And that's where I and our teaching team and our church, that's where we desire you to be, in a growing journey with God where you're not stuck in the baby food and baby season, but you're growing in your love and your understanding of God, because the word of God says that you can taste and see that he's good. As we study God's word, we literally taste his goodness. We become more aware of who he is, and that compels us. That's the stuff that compels us to live. So how we approach verses like Galatians 3, 15 through 18 is really even how we want to approach life. We want to come to learn and understand and love our God, behold him for who he is, be able to contend for the gospel in this crazy world that we live in, and then love out of this knowledge and understanding and experience that we have of the Lord. So I know that some people might be thinking, oh man, this is so repetitive, here we go again. But man, this stuff is what really gives us a foundation of understanding and knowing our God and the gospel. And so that's even just the first point today that I want us to talk about. When we ask the question, what do we need to know as we look at Galatians 3:15 through 18? We need to know the Bible to know the gospel. So our first point, know the Bible, know the gospel. Paul has been giving us a story. In these, really even in just eight verses, he's covering 2,000 years of history and connecting God's story and his promise to Abraham through Moses and into Jesus Christ, and helping us understand the whole picture both of the Old Testament and the New Testament, Genesis to Revelation. So this is important for us. If we are going to be followers of Jesus, to understand the Bible, we got to know the Bible, know the gospel. And one thing that I want to contend for right now is you might have thought this at one point, or maybe you've heard someone say, like, oh, I like the God of the New Testament, not the God of the Old Testament. I don't understand that statement, because the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. Jesus did not come and bring a new, different gospel. Jesus came to fulfill the promised gospel that God gave to Abraham. And that's what we're going to see in this whole journey. Paul is summarizing that for us. So he's showing us the truth about God, that God has never changed. God has been gracious from the beginning. He was gracious to give a promise to Abraham. The promise to Abraham is that through Abraham and his offspring, which we're going to break down in just a second, who is Jesus, through Jesus, all the nations, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And then the law that was given to Moses was not to change the promise, but it was to confirm that God had given the promise. And then when Jesus Christ came, he was to fulfill the promise. He became what we could never be by living a life perfectly according to the laws and commandments of God and showing us that we needed him to be our savior. So we have to know the Bible, we have to know the gospel. And Paul has been reminding us of the story of grace in the gospel. That's why in verse 8, it says that the scriptures beforehand had preached the gospel through Abraham. And so again, Paul's just showing us the story of God for the Galatians who were being given a false gospel by the Judaizers, and for us today as we read and study Galatians. So let's take a look at these four verses in Galatians. We're going to start in verse 15 and go through 18. And I want you to consider, Paul is likely addressing the Judaizers in this part of his letter that he's writing to the Galatians, and he's contending with their counter-argument because they've probably come up and said to the Galatians, sure, Paul says that God promised Abraham that Jesus would be all that you need. Putting your faith in Jesus is the promise that he gave. But then he added the law because Abraham and all the people weren't cutting it. They weren't living how God wanted them to. So that's why God added the law. This is likely what the Judaizers were saying. Yeah, we believe that the promise came to Abraham. We believe that God gives that salvation. But we also believe that you have to live according to the law to receive the salvation that God has for you. And Paul is saying, nope, that is legalism. That is a false gospel. You do not begin your relationship with Jesus by faith and then complete it by works. That's not the case. He's saying in the negative sense, Judaizers, you're wrong. The law was not added to teach a different way for Israel to gain the promise, to gain salvation, to gain their inheritance. The law came to show Israel their need for the promise. The commandments to Moses were given so that we would know our need for a savior, to be able to see our sin and know our need for a savior. So let's read verse 15. To give a human example, Paul says, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified, once it's been formalized. Think about it. If there's a will that we make, once the will has been established, you can't make changes to it once the person passes. If there's been a covenant, the covenant can't be broken or voided or changed. The covenant, the promise remains. So verse 16 says, now let me tell you what I'm talking about. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say and to offsprings, plural, referring to many, but referring to one and to your offspring who is Christ. So Paul's giving a human example of a covenant. Once the covenant's made, you can't change it later on. This is the covenant that was made. And the promises, the covenant that God made with Abraham, were to him and to his offspring. And Paul is making a statement here that the offspring is singular, meaning Jesus Christ. And so he continues in verse 17. So he gave us the example and he says, here's what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterwards. So think about that story of Moses in the wilderness with the people of Israel, the Ten Commandments, and then all of the laws that came after that to the people of Israel. That was 430-ish years after God had already promised Abraham that through his seed, Jesus, all the people would be blessed. So verse 17 says, the law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul, it does not void a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. So because the law came later, it did not void, it did not change God's promise. And then it says four. Why? Listen, verse 18. For if the inheritance comes by the law, and just for our sake, if we want to use a different word of understanding, for if the salvation, if our salvation, inheritance, comes by the law, by living according to the law, it no longer comes by promise. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise. So verse 18 is similar to the end of chapter 2 that we already studied, where if we now say that our salvation comes by us working and doing the law, then that means that Jesus Christ was not needed. Because again, I want us to look at inheritance, think of it as salvation. For if our salvation comes by doing the law, by living according to the law, it no longer comes by promise. If you see promise, think Jesus Christ. I want you to see Jesus when you see that word promise. But God graciously gave Abraham, gave him the promise, Jesus. He didn't say, Abraham, I want you to follow my law, and then you get the promise of Jesus. No, he said, I give you this promise. And so what do we need to know? Right away, we need to know that Jesus is the promise and the inheritance that God gave to Abraham and to all the people that would follow him. Jesus is the promise and the inheritance. Paul is saying, when God promised Abraham that in him, through his seed, Jesus Christ, all the nations of the earth would be blessed, God was saying that by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, anyone can come to know God and have relationship with him. Anyone. That's why it's important for the Galatians and for us to know this, is because this was not a promise only for the people, ethnic people group of Israel, because it was given to Abraham initially, but what it says is that all who would be like Abraham and putting their faith in God would be the children of Abraham. And I'm excited because next week, Carol's going to tease that out for us more as we continue in the rest of chapter 3. She's going to tell us, because Paul poses the question, why then the law? Why do we have the law if this has always been through the promise? And she's going to help us understand that no longer are we under slavery to the law, where we can't live and do good and keep all the commandments. No, when we put our faith in Jesus, we come out of slavery into sonship. We become children of God. And it's all by putting our faith in Jesus, who is the promise, who is the inheritance. Is this making sense, ladies? Because this is the whole story of the gospel. From Genesis to Revelation, as we've already said, Jesus is the one who completes God's promise to Abraham. Remember, we've looked at these. Alicia's helped us go through all of these passages in Genesis 15. Jesus is the one who completes and lives the law perfectly. The commandments that were given to Moses and to the people, they were given to the people to show that we could not keep them, to show us our sin, and to continually point us forward to our need for Jesus who would come. That's why he's called the Messiah, because he was the one to come to bring salvation to the world, the one to come and rescue. He was the promise, and in him is salvation, the inheritance, the eternal kingdom of God that we receive when we put our faith in Jesus, the promise of the Holy Spirit who lives within us that Paul already talked about. All of this comes when we put our faith in Jesus, and he fulfills what God promised to Abraham. Now, in this process of understanding that not only are we saved by faith, but that we live by faith, and it's always been about faith in Jesus, we can be tempted to think still that in order to get the salvation and the blessing from God, we have to do everything that the commandments say. If I don't obey, then I will not receive the blessing or the inheritance that God promised Abraham. And ladies, that's the legalism. That's the false gospel that Paul is fighting against for the Galatians and for you. God's salvation comes through Jesus, not through any works that you can do on your own. Jesus and his kingdom are yours by putting your faith in him. And when you put your faith in him, everything changes. the Spirit of God comes into your life and transforms your heart and your mind. When I put my faith in Christ, He made me a new creation, the Bible says. He became the inheritance that my heart has longed for. In my brokenness, I knew I needed a Savior, but I didn't know it was Jesus until God opened my eyes to see that when I put my faith in Him, everything changes. And so please don't be tempted. I love how Alicia talked about that last week in our checklist and how we like to achieve and do for God, and oftentimes we're doing for God more than we even understand that because of His promise of Christ, our being with God is the greatest blessing of our lives for all of eternity. We now get to be with Him. We get to be a child of God. And as a child of God, we can now grow up in Him and become like Him and show the world who He is. Another danger of thinking how this might apply to our lives is for the Galatians and for us, when we've been reading chapter 3 and it almost feels like a boring history book for some. I've actually heard some people say, gosh, only 3 verses? This is how we're going to skip forward. We can't be bored by the truth of what God has done for us. Because if we, again, don't understand the purpose of the law and that the law came to expose our sin and our need for a Savior, we will get that backwards and we'll think that the law came for us to do, do, do. And then it becomes about our performance, and we rely on ourselves rather than on the grace and the mercy and the kindness of our God. To remember the promise that He graciously gave. When you look at that verse, I want you to look in verse 18. Remember, if salvation, if our inheritance comes by the law and doing good things for God, it no longer comes by promise. Who is Jesus? But God gave. God gave it to Abraham by a promise. When you underline God gave, I want you to write grace underneath that. God graciously gave. God is a God of grace, and it's free gifts that we don't deserve. When we receive Jesus as the promise and Jesus our inheritance, God graciously gives us that, and we live by grace. One theologian says it this way, Andrew Jukes. He said, Satan would have us to prove ourselves holy by the law, which God gave to prove us sinners. Did you hear that? Satan would have us to prove ourselves holy by the law, which God gave to prove us sinners. So when we think highly of ourselves based off of how we're doing in our checklists of following the commandments of God and patting ourselves on the shoulders for being good, we're promoting a pride and self-righteousness that the Bible actually condemns. Never did Jesus promote self-righteousness. He actually went after the Pharisees more than anybody in the Gospels because they prided themselves on the laws that they kept. And they stood on the corners of the streets with their shoulders high and their noses up in the air because they said, look at me and how good I am that I can keep all of these laws. And Jesus had no regard for that self-righteous, prideful heart, because He wants us to, with humility, depend on the grace of God. And any good that we do, we boast in Jesus and what God has done for us. We don't take pride in ourselves, but we take pride in our God. That is the gospel, where Jesus has come and shown us the way, where He perfectly lived, and so we can have the mind of Christ and we can follow in His footsteps because the Spirit lives in us and gives us grace to walk with Him. Verse 18, again, if we could reiterate it in my own words, I'd say, if salvation comes by keeping the commandments, then it no longer comes through the promise of Jesus. And just like 2:21 said, that means that if we're saved by obeying and doing the law, then Christ came and died for no purpose. But what we know, because Paul has helped us walk through the whole story of the Scripture, is that God promised that Jesus would come because there would be no other way for us to be rescued from our sin. God's reason for us living according to His word and His ways is not for us to get acceptance from Him. He already loves you. He already accepts you when you put your faith in Jesus. God's reasons for us to live for Him and His commands is love. it's love. Not only does he show his love for us in our love, but by our love, we prove our love for him, we show love for him, and in that transformed way of life, as we walk with him, it promotes love for all people. It promotes the flourishing of life because God's ways are for the good of people. God's ways are for the good of the city, the caring of the poor and the needy, healing the brokenness, bringing life where there is death. God's way is always about love. And that's what Paul said. Paul said all through chapter 3 and is saying that that's always been God's way. In verse 8, the scriptures beforehand preached the gospel through Abraham. Same God, same gospel in Genesis as Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So he's telling the Galatians, God hasn't changed. And your salvation and the way by which you receive it has not changed. Do not add anything to it. Because in Jesus, all the nations will be blessed. Paul already said this earlier on in verse 8. In Christ Jesus, the seed, the offspring, who is Jesus, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And so again, God was promising Abraham, but Abraham had no idea that that would mean that 2,000 plus 2,000 more years later, we would be able to receive the promise of Christ by putting our faith in him. Abraham had no idea. God took him outside and told him to look up into the stars of the heaven and to think that his descendants would be countless like the stars that he saw. Abraham probably couldn't even fathom what life would be after him. And yet here we are. And we're here hundreds, thousands of years even, after all of that. After the Galatians received this letter, we're receiving the same message of hope that through Jesus, we can have life. And so in Jesus, all the families of the earth are blessed. This is the gospel that we as a church, The Grove, want to bring to people who have never heard. This is why we're a church being changed by God to reach all people. Because in Christ, all people will be blessed. All they have to do is put their faith in him. But the thing is, not all people know this promise. Not all people know this God. And this is why it's important that we know our Bibles and we know the gospel, that Jesus is the one that God promised in the beginning who would become our salvation and our inheritance. And it's in him that everyone can come and be saved. So how can we share that message of hope, that message of freedom with our community and our world? Because this is what Paul has been contending for in this letter, contending and fighting this legalistic idea that the Judaizers are trying to add to the gospel. And he's saying to the Galatians and he's saying to us, it is by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And it is a gospel for all people. Why then the law? Verse 19 starts with that question. And again, like I said, I'm excited for Carol to carry on and to conclude chapter 3 with us next week. She's going to be able to show us again the majesty that is Christ and the opportunity that we get to be his heirs, children of God, because of the promise that God made. So I hope you'll be encouraged. I hope that you'll be invited to keep studying deeply the Word of God and not get bored by this stuff that takes us into a rich history, the rich promises of God for us, so that we can be better equipped to engage our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ.